A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch. I'm still
This is a run home for Kimbo and the Roots. We've just gone 3:34 on a Friday afternoon. Miles Fitzner filling in for Kim Dillon, who's just having a little day off on a Friday. And we do it all thanks to Studio Lumo SA. We're live from SNSJ Studio Lumo here. And we do it thanks to Balfour's, of course. A Balfour's in one hand and your team's colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. The show does go on without Kim Dillon, and it doesn't go on without the superstar himself. He was the chief sports writer for many, many a year at the Advertiser. We're lucky to have him. His name is The Rooch.
Party people!
Rooch, here he is. Rooch, here he is.
Hey,
Rooch.
That stinger never gets old for me, Rooch.
How are you, Miles? Welcome back.
Yeah.
So the man who fumigated this studio went out of his way to wipe down every element of it.
Had to.
Put so much Glen 20 in every microphone is the one that collapsed.
Yeah.
How strange that would be.
Well, it's hopefully he's not down with the lurgy, though. He's just feeling a bit under the weather, and we'll welcome him back. But after a few shows today, more than happy to sit in with you again once more. We've got a nice little show lined up too, Rooch. Being a Cats man myself, James Kelly to join us a little bit later. James Rowley from the Crows, Chad Corns from Port, Gian Rooney for the swimming.
A bit happening at the pool, isn't
it? A bit in the pool. Stubbity Cook.
World
Is
record.
That how you say it? Stubble T? Stubble T?
Stubble T Cook.
World record.
Say it fast while he's swimming.
Stubbity Cook.
You're a caller. You should have great fun with
that. Well, it's a bit like
See
that.
See how often you can slip that one through.
And then we've got, a few maybe shock selections, port selections, interesting. And then big news surrounding the AFL. Well, there's a lot to cover on a Friday. So the show's jam-packed. We want to hear from you, of course. And that is on the text line, 0427 154 166. Or give us a call, 1300 736 736. Rooch, where do you want to start? Do you want to start on the Crow selection or do you want to start on the grand final time? Because I know you're strong on this.
Well, the fans have had a win today. There is no doubt. I mean, we were well aware of how the AFL plays the game. It's if there's a contentious issue, they'd like to just get the debate rolling, measure how public reaction is. It's what called flying a kite. If it's shot down, put it away.
Yes.
If it keeps flying, go, well, this one's okay.
Give it a bit more lead.
So they put Twilight Grand Final on the agenda very clearly a week and a half ago. You get Peggy Neal as the Richmond president making a very emotive speech saying no. And bear in mind, she lived through what Melbourne went through in 2 years of lockdown. That's something a lot of us don't appreciate. She didn't go to the grand final up at the Gabba, which Richmond won because of her commitments in Melbourne. She spoke very passionately about how the day changes with a Twilight grand final and how it doesn't fit what is the meaning of the grand final as far as she was concerned, which is interesting because of she is a late introduction to the sport. So
of course.
Yeah. But the AFL Fans Association does a survey, 90% plus saying leave it where it is. And Gillon McLachlan,
AFL
it's a very good basis of understanding what the fans.
But are the AFL Fans Association though? They're the diet. Like I don't know anybody in my realm that's a football supporter that's a member of the AFL Fans Association. They're the diehards, Rooch.
Yeah, but you don't have to be a fan because they're so big on social media, and when they put their polls out, anyone can just hit yes or no. You don't have to be a member of it. So I think they had enough poll votes. I mean, if you had a survey company say, if we could get that sort of reaction for a poll, we'd say this is really indicative of where things are moving in society. So it's a good poll. Now, Gillon McLachlan will always say, you put change on the table, people resist it. That's understandable. We do actually push back on change. But the thing you can't get away from is this time, the year began with Festival of Football, giving back to the Melbourne fans because they've been locked out of footy for 2 years. It's not the time to be doing things they don't want. Now, they've already had a fair bit of pushback on rule changes, floating fixtures, which floated again today, around 16.
We'll get to that.
If you're getting a huge section, 90% plus, of a very important part of footy, they are an important part of the fans.
But are you contradicting your own point? if you put up change then to the fans, then any change, regardless of what it is, you're going to get kickback.
Yeah,
and Gillen's saying that thing, so we've got it. But
That will apply next year as well, Miles, but the difference is here. This is where the critical difference is. Melbourne fans were locked out of the game for 2 years. They've missed two grand finals, and the beauty for us is we saw it go nationally. That's fine for us. But let's talk about a supporter base, a huge supporter base in Melbourne that's locked out of footy for 2 years. The AFL says, we're giving back to you this year because you put your money into membership, kept your clubs alive, you haven't asked for refunds in the main. We are going to give you what you want. Well, we want a day grand final. Well, you better have it then. Next year is a different story. We know it's coming. We know the Twilight Grand Final is coming.
It has to.
But I would have thought this was the year where you didn't make the change. It's what if it's what the Victorian fans want, give it to them for this year.
Do you think they've just sort of gone, we'll go with the majority and not upset the apple cart?
Miles, the numbers show you that there's 20% of football fans who haven't returned to the game after the COVID pandemic lockouts. If you and I were running a business and we had 20% of it disappear, what do you think you and I would be doing? We say, we've got to get them back.
Yeah, you have to appease them.
We have to get them back. Now, what happens next year, the year after? I'm sure Twilight's coming. But for the moment, if that's what the fans are craving, that's what they want, give it to them. One more day grand final.
It'll have to be one more. We saw Eddie Maguire and Carolyn Wilson. They clashed during the week. Eddie Maguire, as much as he's sort of hated and loved in some circles, he does have a point in regards from a broadcast perspective and ads perspective that the Twilight Grand Final will generate more income from a broadcast side.
Absolutely.
At 100%.
You've got a bigger audience.
But the pros and cons are, I don't understand the pros of this day. A lot of people will argue the day grand final, it's because it's what we've always done. It's tradition, right?
No, not just that, Miles. It's about...
Is it the families?
No.
Because they say, where families want to go. What kid's not staying up watching the grand final at 10 o'clock on a...
This is where it dramatically changes. The grand final is about a set of routines during the morning, the grand final in the afternoon, and a celebration as soon as the sun sets, particularly if your team wins. Pretty hard to celebrate. I know some people do, but pretty hard to go through the traditional celebrations at midnight. That's where the change comes, Miles. And if you get a chance to have a listen to Peggy Neal talk about how she doesn't want that to go away, you can understand why a lot of fans say, no, we like the day grand final because it's not just about the grand final. It's about the whole day. It's about our routines. It's about what we've done all our lives.
But that's what I'm saying. It's all... Like, what's the difference? There's really not that much difference, is there?
I think there is. I think there is, particularly about what would then happen post-grand final. And look, days of when I would go to the grand final, post-grand final was either if one of the South Australian teams was, you kept working because they'd have post-grand final events. But if they weren't, there was a whole group of us that had a very, very long dinner on East Melbourne on the strip above the MC, because that was our routine, that was our tradition. They're the things people have been doing for years and years and years. How do you do that at midnight?
Well, I could at my age. I'll give you the red hot tip, Roach. Oh, no. I'd still have a bit of a crack at it, but I think there are a few. You make a good point, and I know you're big on it. Speaking of big, Hyundai Staria Load, the van that's huge on safety, Roach. They are massive on safety. A few off the text early. Maybe they were also worried about the TV Twilight game boycott before the TV rights negotiations. No name to that, as in people not watching because it went tonight and then the ratings wouldn't be there for the AFL. Are the AFL rights negotiations going to be finished before this grand final?
Yeah, Gillon McLachlan's declared, well, before he leaves office.
Right.
Will it be before the grand final? Depends how those negotiations play out. How many players are involved? How many bids there are, how they want to break it up, particularly with the streaming services that are so important.
And aren't they coming in swinging? Mick from Para Hills, no one in my family or our circle wants a 2:30 grand final. We all want Twilight. Mario from Maslin's Beach, I won't read that. Thank you though, Mario.
Where Twilight is very good is, and that's why you get a bump in the TV audience of around 4 to 5 million people watching it rather than the 2.4 to 3 million. Is that everyone who works on a Saturday, particularly if you're in retail, where you're not going to close your shop on grand final day, you go home and you can watch the grand final. I understand that there are more people who are going to be able to watch the grand final.
Are you
on television?
Can I ask you a question? I've always believed that the prelim finals are better than the grand finals. Spectacles for supporters. Grand finals are filled full of corporates. They're media organisations.
How good were they last year?
Media organisations jam-packed.
Big
sponsors.
How good were they last year? Port Adelaide didn't get off the blocks.
Yeah, well, that's...
Geelong wasn't too flash either.
No, they weren't. But I'm saying that are the prelims for the purists now and the grand finals just for the corporates?
Ah, yes. Well, that's a different story.
Yeah, and that's where I'm thinking.
That's a different
story. They're putting too much emphasis maybe just on one game. Hi, guys. No excuses. Carlton supporters averaging 54,000 at home games this year. Tonight's game already has 45-fold at Marvel. That's from Nick. He's chimed in early. You can send us a text, 0427 154 166. We'll move on from that, Rooch. Just before we're pretty close to a break anyway, but... the floating fixture. There's something you want to touch on that before we jump to a break. It's something that really, for me, how I like to plan ahead. People like to travel interstate.
Yes.
I think they try and manipulate the fixture sometimes in regards to good teams playing good teams in prime time so they get all the money in back. But I'm all about teams actually... I don't like teams having better draws than other teams. I like all the teams playing each other when they should play each other.
So do you prefer it that at the end of November you can cut out the fixture, put it on your fridge, and you can plan your season?
I kind of do, yeah. Right. But, I mean, is that me flipping on, I'm not a purist when it comes to the grand final, now I'm a purist is where I want my 24 rounds?
You can go with whichever breeze is
blowing. Well, I'm only here once, and the text will only come for me.
So we've got rounds 16 to 19 delivered at the moment. No Thursday night, no Friday night for Crows or Port there. Virtually in the Saturday, Sunday slot.
Is that understandable, though, from the turnouts that we've had at the footy here?
Well, understandable with Adelaide because they're probably by 16 and 19 not going to be significantly influencing the eight, are they? Like we thought maybe a month ago. So that's where the floating fixture helps the AFL. Port Adelaide, interesting. Two games that they've got at Adelaide Oval with GWS Saturday night, that's the preferred time slot. The Port fans, that's an interesting one for them. Yet the Geelong one, a repeat of the one we're about to have tomorrow at Cadinia Park, 4:05. Not a bad time slot in itself, but not the number one. So, floating fixture, do you like it? AFL Grand Final staying at the day slot, do you like it? And when we come back, we better talk about what people will like and won't like about Port Adelaide and Adelaide at the selection table last night.
There's plenty of that. Glenn just quickly into the break. Hi, guys. I don't understand the push for a Twilight Grand Final. Fans hate Twilight footy during the normal rounds and are the worst attended games. Yes. And I would think poorly rated on TV. It has to be either a day or night Grand Final, not Twilight. Thanks from Glenn.
Very good point.
Very good point, Glenn. Hey, plenty more to come on Kimbo on the Rooch. No Kim, Miles Fitzner filling in, but we are live from SENSA Studio Lumo. It's 3:46.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. I'm still full
of the Holy Grail. Welcome back to The Run Home, 3:51 on your Friday afternoon, on a sunny Friday afternoon in Adelaide. Kimbo and the Rooch brought to you by Balfour's. No matter your club colours, Balfour's are for the game. Miles Fitzner filling in for Kim Dillon. And, Rooch, selection debacles. Before we get to the selection debacles, though, do you want to go to Annie, who's giving us a call on the line to quickly talk about the grand final and the floating? Annie, welcome to the run home.
Good afternoon, boys. How you going, Rooch?
Good, Annie. How are you?
Yeah, good. Had a wonderful trip to Tassie, so
good on you.
That was great.
You going to Cadinia Park?
No.
Pity.
No, not
you. The good luck charm.
Well, I might be, but I might not be either. I wanted to talk about the grand final. I am funny. I did that survey because I follow AFL Fans Association, and I definitely voted for a day game because it's just not football.
What? Why?
In my
Annie?
Eyes.
Why?
Because usually have people around for, you know, lunch, and it's just what we've always done. Mm. So, you know, people have got other commitments at night too. So, yeah, I mean, it's just my opinion, obviously. Not that I didn't mind the last 2 years, obviously, with COVID, and I would have watched it whether it was day, twilight or not, because, you know, my team wasn't involved. So, but, yeah, that's just, I guess it's just tradition with me, and I've seen a lot of grand finals, so... that's just my opinion with that.
Annie, what about the floating fixture?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Now, where do I start?
Here we go. Fire up, Annie. Let us have it.
I am very fired up with this. For an interstate supporter, I understand what Melbourne went through for 2 years, but, hey, it's not all about them. It's a national competition. And I want to go to the Collingwood game in Melbourne, because I haven't done a Melbourne trip this year, and it's round 20, and I've got no idea when it'll be. So I can't book anything because I don't know whether it's going to be Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, or Sunday.
Annie, I couldn't agree with you more.
I'm fuming about it. Like, it's time to stop it. Everyone's living with COVID. I know it's about the TV rights and all of that, but what about us supporters? Like, I've had a gut full of it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Annie, and thank you so much for calling in. I love her passion.
Yes,
I love her passion.
And that's what Gillon McLachlan and Richard Goyder at the AFL Commission need to be hearing, the passion of the fans.
There it is in black and white.
I think there'll be some passionate fans at both clubs when they picked up their papers this morning, had a look at selection.
You've been waiting to play this. Haven't you?
Look, so Adelaide has brought in Phil Thorpe as we expected.
Yes.
And let's hope he gets a really solid run, because I think we all agree, I know I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of people here, but surely we want to see Riley Thilthorpe play for a long, long time in that goal square for the Adelaide Footy Club. Let's get him rocking and rolling as a key forward rather than someone who's slipping in and out of that side. But I think we've seen enough of the merry-go-round at Adelaide this year. We want to see some stability. And I know Matthew Nix will say you've got to have form, but it's time to invest in Riley Thilthorpe. So Himmelberg goes out.
Probably. It'd come good, hadn't he? Yep.
Now, the interesting ones, no Matt Crouch, a club champion, and still no Wayne Miller, who's on a big 5-year contract. Ooh. Now, let's have a listen to Matthew Nix on the absence of Matthew Crouch.
Crouch and I had a good chat just around, you know, he delivered last week for us and gave us what we were after. He's got a big opportunity tonight to really connect with Riley O'Brien, who's back there as a ruck. That doesn't mean we want Matty first hands. Matty, I want him to run that midfield. And that's something that, you know, at AFL moving forward, Matty's going to be massively important for us. He's an on-field general. You know, the way he sets up stoppage. And so he's going to go and do that again for us this week, and then, you know, we'll look at that come next week.
Seems a luxury to have Matt Crouch in the sample, doesn't it, when it's not a loaded Adelaide midfield, is it?
Shouldn't be there. His brother Brad also probably having arguably one of his better seasons too, St Kilda.
So Adelaide played Wayne Miller after a fairly long absence, almost 2 years with a knee injury, in the first game this season. Hasn't been started at AFL level. Everyone keeps asking when. Matthew Nix had some very interesting things to say about Wayne Miller today.
Yeah, he's still in that space. He's, you know, and again, we discussed at length this week. Was it this week? Junior's working on a couple of little things with his game, and we'll see that tonight. He'll play a really important role for us in that game v the Eagles. And then we want to see a couple of things in his game, which, you know, coming off of 2 years out of the game, we want to make sure that, as I've said before, that him coming back in is him in. And then we move forward with him and make sure we get that role right, that he can see out a full game at AFL level.
What are those things?
There's a bit of multiple efforts at the moment, which is one of the things you lose when you're out of the game for a while, is that there's one thing to be sort of, I guess, aerobically fit and be able to get around and, you know, run a good 2K time. But then there's multiple efforts of footy. Takes a fair bit out of you when you're running well and truly over 10 or 12 Ks.
That's publicly telling him we are teaching him a lesson. You've got to work harder.
Yep.
A big deal.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was wondering if I could see your eyes light up as soon as you could hear about
the effort,
extra efforts and all that. I thought, Yeah, that's a pretty strong message there.
It's a very strong message. To say that publicly about effort is always in footy clubs.
But there's nowhere to hide in footy.
No,
well, people are going to see that when you're playing.
Anyway. Oh, no, but for the coach to say it publicly.
Well, there's been a fair few players who have been put on the agenda by their clubs over time.
I know we're... Lockie Shell's been dropped here, Rooch.
Yes.
We probably don't need to play the grab if unless you want to. But
dropped,
but Lockie Shell's been dropped. I've been sitting on this for a while. Mm. You know where Lockie Shell will be next year?
Where?
Lockie Shell will be at Carlton next year.
You think?
Lockie Shell will be at Carlton. Huge interest out of the Blues. Massive. Now, and I'm not going as far to say what I know yet because I can't confirm it. Mm. But if he hasn't already been to the club, he will be going. In regards to having a look around, Lockie Shoal will be at Carlton. They are very, very, very keen on Lockie Shoal on the wing at Carlton. I've been sitting on it a while, and I thought, what better time to talk about this than right now? But I'm not declaring it. I'm just saying they are in the running.
He'll be tempted.
He'll be very tempted to be at Carlton, and if not, the Crows will have to pay up to keep him big time.
Before we go to the 4 o'clock news, Port Adelaide's. Interesting call, considering what Ken Hinckley had to say on Thursday morning, was not to have Horatio Fantasia in their lineup at all. He was the medical sub against North Melbourne and Hobart. Ken Hinckley was asked about Fantasia's ability to get off the medical sub seat and get back into the side. This was his response yesterday, and I'll preface it by saying he is not in the 26-man squad, let alone the 23.
Yeah, we're comfortable enough to know that he's got some conditioning now that'll allow him to play. Clearly, last week, you know, without the game, we took him as with the plan. If there's any minutes, it was going to be a bonus, but that didn't happen. But we trained him really strongly after the game, and had a really good week. So yeah, he'll be certainly in the 2023.
So now we're going to have to ask Chad Corns when he joins us later. Just why is it that they changed their mind on that one?
Yeah, if you've got some thoughts on that, send us a text. A few have come out here from the Gold Coast Crow. Magic Man, you don't need to plan anything. You just SMS Hutchie and he sorts it out. I'm not sure. From the Gold Coast Crow. Here we go. Someone called me a hypocrite before. I like that. What else have we got in here? Growing up, all of my grand final memories were during the day. Melbourne Cup needs to be 6:30. We'll get to the Clarko and the Goodwood later in the show. Hi, guys. Welcome, Miles. Must be nice looking at someone like Rooch in the eye instead of Tags. An afternoon grand final also brings extra revenue to the team post-match, as well as our city centre for interstate clubs like ours. Johnny Kay from Kensington. Good on you, Johnny. Sounds like knucklehead Nicks is more interested in winning sandful flags. Chops from Cheltenham.
Wow.
The Gold Coast Crow chimed in again. When every big game is a night game, why is it such a big deal having a night grand final? Personally, I'd rather a twilight, but can't see the big deal. And then he's followed that up with the Berg. Almost got half a season. I hope Phil Thorpe gets afforded the same time. Also, Saligo and anyone that's under 24. And someone wishing Benny Palmer the best of luck and his Uncle Clive tomorrow off the text.
Now, do you need to go find your Geelong scarf?
I do. I'm excited about this. Yeah, James Kelly to join us on the other side of this. We're going to go to the newsroom. I'm sorry, April. We've just gone a little bit over. But that's all okay because it's Friday. We're having fun. Kimbo on the Rooch back right after this. We're live from SENSA Studio Lumo. Miles Fitzner with you, filling in for Kim Dillon, Michelangelo Rucci, as always. And Kimbo and the Rooch is brought to you by... No, Matty Yorks are for the game. Well, Rooch, growing up a Geelong supporter as a kid.
Of course.
Oh, no, I've got a little bit excited about this. You want to talk guys with CVs, 313 games, three-time premiership player, All-Australian 2011, Geelong assistant coach James Kelly. He joins us. How are you, James?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, mate, pretty excited talking to you. I'll give you the red hot tip. But I did fly to Melbourne. I did fly to Melbourne and called the game last week at Marvel, and it wasn't a pretty game. But under to St Kilda in a game that you probably had by the scruff of the neck. What was the wash up from the Saints game?
Yeah, I think the main thing was we didn't really handle the really big momentum swing in the game like as well as we would have liked to have. I think about 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, we were still 20 points up, and then they kicked a few goals and we weren't able to then score again to, you know, sort of arrest their momentum. So that was kind of one of the main things we reviewed was we feel like it's the momentum swings in games are happening a lot and they're becoming maybe more important and bigger swings than they have in previous years. So we sort of spent a little bit of time on that, but generally we felt like we controlled the game for big chunks, and you know, 90% of the game was ours, we felt. But we just obviously, without stating the obvious, we just had to handle that period better and show an ability to stifle the game a bit more or score ourselves.
James, it's your first year back at Cadinia Park, and we shouldn't assume just because you played on the halfback line or in the midfield that that's the area that you're working as an assistant coach. Which portfolio did they give you?
Well, we don't really have, okay. This is a bit different for me too, we don't really have distinct areas. So there's myself, Nigel Lappin, Sean Grigg and Scotty, and we just kind of muck in and get it all done ourselves. So we didn't really want, and Scotty has sort of been a real driver of this, we didn't really want clear lines of distinction between your roles and then that flow into holding back opinions on different lines, people getting their feathers up about lines. So we just wanted things to be really open and conversational about the whole team. And Scotty's a real believer in more players should have more access to more coaches more often. So, you know, if I want to talk to a player about something, I should feel free to just get over there and have a chat to him about it. And from my experience coming back into that, it really does generate a lot of conversation, especially amongst coaches, and you don't feel like you can't say, oh, hey, you know, what about this or what about that? We're just kind of pooling our ideas and picking out the best ones for the team, not just for your area.
What's the feedback from the players like?
I think they're enjoying it. Yeah, we sort of check in with the players a fair bit. The feedback's been pretty good. Like on match day, we do sort of try to line it up a little bit. But I think the players like a bit more of a relaxed feel and things being a bit more conversational. And, you know, players will do different reviews, different weeks. And not having the same coach in your ear all the time can actually be better for your learning and how you feel. You know, different sort of some coaches or every coach coaches differently. So the feedback so far has been good. And at this point in time, we would say the coaches are enjoying it as well.
So at the huddles at quarter time, three quarter times, and then in the rooms at half time, do you still break up into three groups or is it just one big group and everyone's talking?
Yeah, well, the boys still break up into their three groups and the coaches will have a bit more of a debrief rather than just go straight to the lines and just start talking to the line. So we sort of believe that that allows the players to debrief themselves a little bit. They're the ones that we actually want really in the game and really aware of what's going on rather than us coming down and telling them what's happening. So it allows them to sort of chat a little bit more and then we can sort of get our ducks in a row and if there's, you know, some things that each line needs, we may even just rotate around a little bit. And Scotty just kind of sheriffs all that and just pulls bits and pieces together as he sees fit.
James, there's been a bit of press around the Geelong game plan and how they've changed it this year. We can see that things are being done a little bit differently. I think a lot of supporters have sort of had in the back of their mind that it hasn't quite yet gelled. Do you still hold the belief there that when that clicks in that you're competitive with the likes of the Melbourne and the Brisbane Lions?
Yeah, I think so. We beat Brisbane down here early in the year and played the way we're trying to play really well. I think what comes with learning new systems is inconsistency. We just we haven't quite got where we want to from a consistency point of view. But when we have played the way we're asking the players to play and the way the coaches think is the best way to play, when everyone's on the same page with that, and when I say everyone, I mean coaches and players, we've looked really good and we feel like we're still a really competitive, really dangerous team. The difference in the game plan and things, different messaging, even myself being there as a new coach, that just takes time to settle down. You know, players do get really used to certain things and certain decisions they make under pressure and certain voices and all that sort of stuff. So we feel like we believe in the path that we're on, but, you know, it's never smooth sailing, but as long as we get it where it needs to be by the end of the year, we'd be pretty happy.
One thing that's notable, James, is you're scoring 93 points a game. That's your best scoring average since 2017. Is it just as simple as having two big blokes called Cameron and Hawkins at the front?
Certainly helps, doesn't it? I think, I think we want to give those guys the best opportunity to kick goals. You know, and that's an easy thing to say, and that requires 16 other players on the field to get the ball down there to those two. But, you know, we've got a real strength and a real weapon with those two guys down there, and we want to maximise that as much as we can, as well as the talent we've got in the back line and through the midfield. So, you know, to kick more goals. And I think, you know, if we find ourselves in a really tight game at the back end of the year, just having the ability to kick goals when we need to, will be a really valuable tool to have if we get there. So we don't want to get to those positions and say to the players, we're three goals down at three-quarter time. You guys have got to kick five goals in 20 minutes. Go get it done. We want to, you know, give the tools to the players so they can use them when they need to.
So you spoke of the inconsistency. You've been in a win-loss, win-loss sequence for a while now. Is that the byproduct of the players still learning what this game plan is, or are there other issues?
I think it's probably a little bit of learning, and to be honest, it's probably a little bit of us as coaches trying different things as well, like thinking that worked, do we stick with that, do we want to move with this? And the luxury that we've got as coaches is that we do have a really experienced group that we can make changes and the players can just sort of work with it. They're a really patient group and really well, obviously, experienced group. But I think it's probably a little bit of both. It's one of those sort of things. It's not just one thing that you can really put your finger on and say, look, if we sort that out, everything's going to be smooth sailing, because as soon as you think that, it's like, you know, it's the AFL, it'll shift again for you. So it's just, you know, inconsistency in everything that we have to iron out.
We're talking with assistant coach James Kelly. James, you're still missing a few stars, though. Menegola, Radaglia, Sean Higgins got general soreness. Where's Reece Stanley at?
Reece was training around the track today, so I'm not 100%. I was working with a couple other players when he was out there, but I did hear that he was feeling okay. So I guess once I get off this call, I'll check it up. Not that it'll help you guys, but...
A lot the generic, you know, geez, you've trained well straight into this coach role.
Yeah, I know. It's hard not to, isn't it? The honest answer is I don't know, but I just don't want to say that. So I think he's okay. I don't know, I couldn't tell you.
What about our old friend Patrick Dangerfield? Hasn't trained this week. Are you sure and confident, because of his experience and the way you know that he prepares mentally anyway, that he'll be good to go against Port Adelaide?
Yeah, he's done that before. And, you know, Pat, he's an unbelievable player. Yeah, if he puts his hand up and says he's right, then, you know, I'll ride that. I think he's well within his rights to make that call, and a really honest person to make it in the right way.
James, if I had to ask you one focus from Port Adelaide that you're looking to sort of tackle, what is it for you guys from the Port Adelaide side that you need to deal with?
I think their work around the contest is really good. You know, I don't think they're the team that was 0-5. I don't think they're that team anymore. They're playing really, really good footy, and their defence is better. Their mids roll back to help out their back line a lot, and their stuff around the contest and has always been really good. They're just early in the year, I don't think they got the benefit from it. But yeah, they contested work, and their midfielders are good. So we have to, you know, we have to be really good in that area, as well as get the ball to our forwards and give them a good chance.
James, you and your mates at Geelong were very greedy for a while. 4 grand finals, 3 premierships.
Oh, how good was it?
It's a big day today to have the grand final confirmed as a day fixture still. As a player, how would have you felt about the timing of the grand final? I know everyone says, look, you just want to play in it, but did you prefer the night events or a day grand final?
Look, it's a really hard one. Like, I'm firmly in the camp of, I don't think players really care that much. Mm-hmm. I think players think that they care, but if it was a night game or a day game, a player would just prepare accordingly.
Yep.
We play enough night games throughout the year that it's not an unusual thing for teams to play a night game. I like the idea of a night game for a change-up. You know, I'm not really strong on anything with it. I think the important part is, you know, what the grand final is and what the mood it puts everyone in and what it does for everyone. I think I'd even be open to the grand final being like it is in America with the Super Bowl, how it changes ovals every year.
Right, you've got our vote for AFL CEO. When do you want to start?
Yeah, I think that even that would be a good thing for the game nationally. And I know you know, traditionalists don't like that, and MCC people wouldn't like that. But the timing of the grand final doesn't, personally, doesn't mean much to me.
Yeah, just like a home prelim every now and then, wouldn't we, James?
Yeah, they're more. I'd be more, I'd be more vocal about something like that than I would be about at the time of the grand final.
Yeah, had to get that in. Hey, James, appreciate your time, mate. You had a superstar career. Love watching you go about it. Good luck against Port on the weekend, mate. We'll chat again soon.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, James.
James Kelly, their assistant. Yeah. I had to get that in, Roach.
Oh, I can understand. Like,
it's home prelims down at GMHBA.
Isn't it delightful to hear someone who's in the Victorian heartland of Australian football say, don't mind it being moved around the ground?
Yep. But it's a new way. Like, the new way. Geez, we saw, I mean, we've got to talk about it throughout the show too, but we saw plenty of people get active about it. Don't forget, too, the Cats are celebrating their 10th, I've got to get this right too, Roach, the Jilang match, which is short for Tongue of Land, which what Geelong means in Aboriginal. So it's an integral contribution to the First Nations people and cultures to the game of Australian rules football. And look, they're celebrating their 10th down there too. So since 2012, they've led that program for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultural connection. So well done to them down there as well.
And Geelong certainly has had some great Indigenous players, probably none greater than Polly Farmer. You couldn't
Polly
find
Farmer.
Anyone better at Geelong than Polly Farmer, could you?
No, Ronnie Burns was good, but yes. he wasn't in the Polly Farmer category.
He was a great man, Polly Farmer.
Certainly was. Let's jump to a break, Roach, on the other side of this. Plenty more to come on Kim on the Roach, all thanks to Balfours. And no matter your club colours, we are for the game.
A Balfours in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfours are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Roach. I'm still a fool for
the Holy Grail. Welcome back to The Run Home. Just gone 4:22 on your Friday afternoon. Kimbo and the Roach is brought to you by Balfours. No matter your club colours, Balfours are for the game. Miles Fitzner filling in for Kim Dillon. Michelangelo Rucci here too. And Roach, what a pleasure to talk to our next guest. Susie O'Neill, when I grew up, was the original sweetheart of the swimming pool, and then the Australian public fell in love with another, and her name is Gian Rooney, and she joins us on the line. Gian, thanks for joining us.
Aw, lovely to chat to you again, boy.
Gian, it's all happening in the pool. There's drama to the side. Can we start before we go down that path? Because that's just red hot, and we want to talk about that. But Zach Stubbledy-Cook, world record 200-metre breaststroke, not an event that the Australians really have sort of... it's not one that goes to the top of the swimming calendar, but, gee, like, it's a huge effort at the Australian Swimming Championships.
I'm so glad we're starting with this. Thank you. Because I feel like for Zach, he won an individual Olympic gold medal in Tokyo in the 200 breaststroke last year. And just by the nature of how good the rest of the team was with multiple medals, Zach almost got overshadowed. So an exceptional performance in Tokyo. And then last night, breaks the world record. Not just only breaks the world record, the first man in history under 206 for 200 breaststroke. It is just next level extraordinary. And he's the most understated Olympic champion, the most understated world record holder you'll ever come across. But even he had a moment with me on pool deck when he looked around and saw the scoreboard and went, holy beep, you know. And I said, I knew I was feeling good. I didn't know I was swimming that fast. So they're those magical moments which just need to be celebrated so much. And I'm thrilled for him because he's back in the pool tonight in the 100 breaststroke, which sets up a great rivalry between the great British swimmer Adam Peaty, who has dominated sprint breaststroke events for nearly a decade. So all that is to come.
John, so we can get perspective on this, what have Zach's times been like for the 200 metre breaststroke, say in the past Olympic cycle, so to speak?
He's been chasing that 200 breaststroke world record. Like he nearly broke it at trials last year in terms of he was, I'm trying to think exactly what it was, but he was almost under world record pace for quite a fair way of that 200 at trials last year. And that really is the first time that he came to notice for all of us. We were all looking at Matthew Wilson, who once again got second last night. But Matty Wilson, in the year previously to Olympic trials, had also broken that 200 breaststroke world record. So, amazingly, these two have a great friendship, a great rivalry. And Zach's times have been consistent, but his real, I guess, entry into the world stage was Olympic trials last year here in Adelaide, and he has just not missed a beat since then, dropping times consistently, performance after performance, and that's what he's really wanted to do. The motivation for him post-winning Olympic gold is to be the most consistent swimmer out there. He wants to be a world champion. He wants to be a Commonwealth Games champion, and he wants to defend his Olympic title in Paris.
Well, he's on his way to doing that. Gian, we have to go there because this is the love triangle that's really just heating up the swimming pool at the moment. And we speak of Cody Simpson and Kyle Chalmers and the drama. Now he's backflipped. He said, oh, you know what, I might keep Cody Simpson sticking to the microphone and not the swimming pool here, and decided that he might compete.
Yes. So, to very quickly explain, two nights ago, in the 100 fly, Cody Simpson gets third. Mm. Kyle Chalmers gets second. Matthew Temple wins the event. Kyle has had made his intentions very clear in the lead up to this event. In fact, he had to tell head coach Rowan Taylor that he was not going to World Championships. He was only going to Commonwealth Games. So that meant, and I asked Rowan this on pool deck before we started on Prime Video, if hypothetically Cody Simpson gets third in this 100 fly behind Kyle and goes under the qualifying time, will you take him to World Championships? And Rowan said, if he goes under the qualifying time and comes third and Kyle is in the top two, yes, I would. So when this actually played out in real life, Cody equals the qualifying time, Kyle gets second. We're celebrating Cody because he's made his first Australian swim team to go to World Championships. And then that night, Kyle started cryptically dropping on Instagram hashtag Budapest, going to World Championships with my brother Matt Temple. And we went, hang on a second, what's going on? So Kyle has now, in my post-race interview with Kyle after he won the 50 fly last night, I had to ask him and say, so are you now going to World Championships? And he said, yes. And I said, so does knowing that that will probably come at the cost of Cody Simpson's dream of making the team, did that play into the decision? And he said, no, I want to swim butterfly in Paris. I want to add it to my program. And my shoulders are feeling good. My prep's feeling good. So I want to go to World Champs. So therein lies the drama.
can you just explain to our listeners, like, if the world's, and correct me if I'm wrong, would rate ahead of the Commonwealth Games, why wouldn't you go to the Worlds?
So this is where it's actually quite difficult to explain, because World Championships is by far a bigger, more hotly contested event than Commonwealth Games, just by number of participants and countries that are involved.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the Australian sporting landscape, historically, in the hearts and minds of both Australian athletes and the Australian public, the Commonwealth Games is like this, it rates higher in the psyche in some ways because of how well we have done.
Okay.
So the difference is, as well, you've got to remember the World Championships were meant to be held earlier this year and weren't going to be so close to Commonwealth Games. But when they got moved, all of a sudden, a lot of athletes struggle with a double taper, as we call it, and hitting their peak twice in such a short amount of time. So there's only a few athletes like Emma McKeon, Ariane Titmus, Kyle Chalmers up until yesterday that had decided to bypass Worlds so that their preparation was spot on for Commonwealth Games, given they'd had such a large break after Tokyo.
Well, that explains it beautifully.
It certainly does. Hey, Gian, before we let you go, we have to jump to the newsroom. How's Sam going? Is he still involved in the ag world and the beef job up there?
Oh, my goodness, he certainly is. My darling husband is mud deep. We live 25 minutes out of Lismore in northern New South Wales, so we're hating the rain and the mud at the moment. The herd online is his business.
Yeah,
so
ripper.
If you've got livestock, look out for him.
Yeah, he's a great fella, Sam. Gian, we appreciate your time. All the action continues tonight in the pool as well, and they can catch you poolside with that as well. Thanks so much for your time. We love having you on, and always a great chat.
Love, love chatting with you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All thanks to Prime Video. That's how you get to see the Australian Swimming Championships there from Marion.
Do you think we'll be seeing the footy on Prime Video? Maybe Paramount, Prime, Stan, Netflix.
Streaming will have its part.
We've got a few texts. We're going to get to them quickly on the other side. On the other side of the break, though, Roach, James Raleigh, Crows assistant. We've still got Amy Clangers to come, Chad Corns to come, Friday forecast, some properties of the week, thanks to McGain. Let's go to the newsroom. More Kimbo and the Roach on the run home right after this.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Roach. I'm still full of
the Holy Grail. This is The Run Home. It's Friday. Kimbo and the Roach brought to you by Balfour's. No matter your club colours, Balfour's are for the game. Miles Fitzner filling in for Kim Dillon. Michelangelo Rucci, he's still here. We should have said two on the other side, Roach. Cody Simpson will be a part of the Prime Video panel tonight with Gian Rooney as well. And if AFL's more your flavour, you can now purchase the AFL Record online via aflrecord.com.au and get each week's edition delivered to your door. The AFL Record, subscribe today online. A couple of texts as we get to James Raleigh quickly, Roach. Afternoon, boys. I'd like to see a draft lottery. That was from Graham from Brisbane.
Yep.
Mo's asked what's happened to Dave, Roach.
Oh, Dave's not here.
He's not here.
But we wish him well.
Aratio,
quick recovery.
Aratio appears to have pulled up a tight, slightly strained quad yesterday. Might have strained it with all the strain he was sitting down last Saturday. I like that. Miles.
Yes, okay.
Miles, you're talking about Shoal's story like you're talking about Bontempelli. The guy's a dud. Good riddance from Brad. Nicely won.
That's harsh.
Yeah, that is harsh. Roach, if that was the Crows who told Porky Pies about Fantasia playing, you'd be smacking them from pillar to post. I know you're a PAFC employee, but don't get the double standards. A little click for you too.
Well, that's why we're going to talk to Chad Corns to understand exactly why it is. That's why we put it on the agenda.
That's it. Squig's chimed in. Thanks, Squig. Rucci's first swimming coach nicknamed him The Rock because he sank to the bottom. I like that from
that
Mario.
That is correct.
Hey, now we've got to go. Like Chad into this man. His name is James Raleigh. He's an assistant coach at the Crows. Good afternoon to you, James.
Hey, guys. How are we?
Good, mate, good. St Kilda, Saturday night, prime time, Adelaide Oval. They're coming off a good win. It's shaping up as a good clash.
Yeah, no, Saints are in some really good form now. They're having a good year. Had a close look at their game versus Geelong, and they were very impressive as we play St Kilda and then Geelong. So, yeah, it was an entertaining game, and they were pretty impressive, especially in that third quarter.
James, it's always interesting to look at Adelaide's selection now because we're trying to always read into what Adelaide is doing. You're there. What were the selection processes this week that led to the changes?
Riley was one we've been trying to get into the team. He had a few body issues early that he was working through. He was still playing through the sample and going quite well. He's also working on a part of his game. And then Elliot jumped up and Lockie Glant jumped up and played some pretty good footy when Riley was probably ready to come in. So, and then when he was right to come in, he had an injury and also had the COVID protocol. So he's over all that and we're pretty keen to get Riley in and see how he goes.
It seems like a revolving door in your section of the field, the attack. You need stability there, don't you?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's usually a revolving door in most sides, but it's probably a little bit in too much for us, especially in that key position. And that's probably where we probably just need someone to jump up. Obviously, Texas have been in pretty good nick since the time I've been here. And Shane McAdam, I think, in probably career best form at the moment as well. And our small forwards, even though some of them go in and out the side, I think they've been pretty solid with what they've given us, and they've been pretty important. So it's really up to that sort of second and third tall to jump up and take his opportunity.
No shortage of critics in a very public game like the AFL, but how do you review Darcy Fogarty?
Well, Darcy is probably at the stage where, it is his opportunity to take now. I think Darcy's got some strengths in his game, but there's some parts of his game he does need to work on. We all have to jump at the ball these days. There's too much pressure on the ball that we can get it leading up nicely like they used to back in the 80s and 90s. You have to jump at the ball and present, and that's what Darcy's working hard on. He did that really well from a contest point of view, but then Darcy's got to win his one-on-ones as well to take his game to a new level. And look, he is working really hard on that, and hopefully it clicks for him.
While the Mac attack have been great, James. What about Lachie Murphy? How's his neck?
Yeah, no, he probably did need the week off last week. It's just been probably getting up for each game a bit difficult. There's no sort of danger there. He's cleared of from all his scans, but it's just he's had a pretty stiff neck early in the week, and it's taken him a while to get through and missed a few training sessions. So just to have that week off has sort of freshened him up, and hopefully he can continue and not miss too many more games.
James, is there eagerness to see Wayne Miller playing AFL footy again? What's missing that isn't encouraging you to pick him?
Look, I'm not as close to Wayne where he's playing, but from what I hear, it's just still, whether it's the years off, the 2 years he's had off, just that extra bit of work rate that's needed, probably especially from a defensive point of view, just to cover off and find his opponent and probably just a little bit in transition that he needs to get to that AFL level. But look, he's still really close, and I think we will play Wayne at some stage, and we're probably still working out what that position will be as well. So hopefully if he has a good game in the sample, I think Wayne will be in the side pretty soon.
Well, that's the key point, James, about what position, because we were debating even before he was injured as to where he was to play and give his best service to the Adelaide Footy Club. And we've heard Matthew Nix, your senior coach, today saying it's about finding a role that's not just for Wayne Miller, but suits the team. In your eyes, where is his best position as a player for the Adelaide Football Club?
Well, it's where he's getting the football. So I suppose that's where we've looked at halfback. You know, halfback is usually a position where you can get, you know, obviously you have to cover your opponent and you have to defend well, but you are able to find the footy probably a little bit easier. And if Wayne can find it 20 to 25 times, yep, he's definitely going to help the team. So that's probably where he's played his majority of his role for us this year. But look, he's played a little bit on the wing, but there's a, you know, ask a lot of the work rate and the run on the wing. And we know, I suppose, late in that Fremantle game, he put him forward and he can win contests. But again, in that high forward role, you definitely have to work and reset and engage your opponents and do a lot of the defensive work as well.
3-6 last year, 3-6 this year at the end of round 9. They're not directly comparable seasons, but from your field, where's the progress been made from 1 year to the next?
Well, probably if you take the 3 games out that I was really disappointed, we are as a club with Collingwood and GWS and Carlton, which are all different parts of our game. The Collingwood and GWS game was around the footy, our contest, which we need to bring every week. I think everyone knows that if we don't bring that level of pressure and contest, we're not competing for 4 quarters. So the Carlton game was our team defence, which was really disappointing because we've worked really hard on that. So whether it was the mix of players and we were too young in areas, maybe that hurt that. But for the rest of the games, and I include the Brisbane game, I don't think the 36 points was representative of that game at all. I actually enjoyed watching that game, even though, the scoreline was what it was. So the other 6 games, I think they have improved a fair bit on last year, even though we are younger. Like, we are at the bottom of our rebuild right now. We're the youngest we'll ever be, and maybe youngest Adelaide football probably or should ever be in the future. So, we're giving games to those guys, and we're trying to find out what that best team is to go further and play finals very soon.
James, we've all lived through some difficult times in the last 2 years, and keeping up with protocols is quite a challenge, and more so at an AFL club. Could you just explain to our listeners where Jordan Butts is with the protocols and why he can't play this weekend?
Yeah, well, I think he's been stationed on a bit of a farm at the moment, so he can still run. And we were aiming to get Jordan up this week. He's been feeling fine. He's in good spirits. I think he would have liked to put his hand up, but it's probably just getting too close to the game. I think he probably won't come up this week. So, we've given him every opportunity. But, it looks like he'll miss this week.
James, appreciate your time. Mate, best of luck with St Kilda. Be called on AFL Nation, of course, on SEN. Hopefully you get the chocolates. And we'll chat again soon on the run home.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, James.
James Raleigh there. Rooch, they're right in. It's almost, not saying season defining. Big game, though, against the Saints.
Yeah, well, we want to see them deliver what's going to be their trademark? Because
Pressure.
I mean, we've heard what they want to play, and we've seen it in that solid month that they had where they beat Richmond and the Western Bulldogs, but there's not a consistency level with them, is there? Which we understand. Young group, but changing lineup.
Your point before, though, you've got Himmelberg, Fogarty, Phil Thorpe, Gallant, and Walker. What happens is you compete for spots, but when you're competing for spots, you want guys to be in form to then knock them out, and they're not. Yeah. So they're competing for spots, and no one's in nick. So it's hard. Hey, let's jump to a break. On the other side, we've got our Amy Clangers coming up. Who's hot? Who's not? And you can send us a text. Send it to 0427 154 166. We'll be back in a minute.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch. I'm still full of
the Holy Grail. Welcome back to The Run Home. Fast approaching 5 o'clock and, well, no Kimbo. Filling in today, Rooch. We've got a bit to cover here. And speaking of cover, who covers Clangers at home and on the road? Amy does. They cover them, Roots. We need our Amy Clanger from you.
Now, the theme of the Amy Clanger, because if you're in trouble, you do want Amy by your side, because when you're in a mess, they'll fix it up.
That's it.
So the Amy Clanger of the day, the bad that becomes good, goes to the AFL for putting a Twilight Grand Final on the table, seeing it become a car wreck, as Amy can handle that, and now going back to the traditional 2:30 Melbourne time, in the afternoon, Saturday time slot.
So the clanger was potentially changing it?
Oh, the
and then the good coverage was actually swapping it back.
Yes, I think the outrage would have been significant that even the AFL would have been looking at its insurance policies.
Yeah, they might have been. Now, that's all thanks to Amy. Clangers for Good is giving back much-needed funds to grassroots clubs. To enter, go to afl.com.au/clangersforgood. I always like this one on your show, Rooch, and that's where we go to the who's hot and who's not for Fujitsu. When the temperature hits you, just get a Fujitsu. It's Australia's favourite air. Who's hot and who's not? I wish I had Mark Taylor's voice in my repertoire. Fujitsu, Australia's favourite air. You know, he used to do the ads.
Well done.
Mark Taylor. Fujitsu. Yeah, he used to do them.
Well,
yeah.
On the hot cycle, and this is getting better every year, the design of the Indigenous jumpers is hot.
Yep.
And I've had a look at the wall chart that the AFL put up the other day of all 18. Some spectacular designs there. And then when you read the stories behind the designs, it's even better. The one that's striking me out at the moment for its colour coordination is the Carlton jumper. How good is that one?
Super. They do it extremely well and need to as well. You bang on there. Who's not hot then?
All those who are criticising Luke Parker at Sydney for doing what every footballer should do, not only physically intimidate an opponent, but also get above the shoulders space. I can't believe we've had people virtually saying he should be cited for bringing the game into disrepute and all this sort of stuff. I can't believe it.
So essentially you're potting Carolyn Wilson for saying he's being a bully.
There was someone else. Who else was it the other day who someone had a go as well? Oh,
Campbell Brown lined up SEN's own. He lined up Caroline Wilson and said, this is one of the worst takes of football I think I've ever heard. Agreed. She was saying it's all about getting in their head.
It is.
It's a 100%. And that's not bullying.
It's all part of the gamesmanship, isn't it?
You duck, you pull out, you're up for it.
Yes. And apparently it wasn't the only one that happened at the weekend. There was one in the Geelong St Kilda game.
Yeah, Jeremy Cameron, he had the arms up. We always used to say, what was it, dodging shadows. You heard footsteps, or you're dodging shadows. Dodging shadows. Hey, I've got a couple. Paddy Ryder is hot at the moment.
Yes, he is.
And for a journeyman, really, and his age, he is white hot, Paddy Ryder. Mm. And, he has to go in the hot category. Who's not? This is a tough one. I was going to have a go at someone probably from Port Adelaide, but I'm going to leave that because I don't want the text machine to come for me any more than they already have.
Really?
Rooch. But the Bombers aren't. And my mail was that the team went up, the Essendon VFL team went up to play the Sydney Swans reserve side as a friendly to get some game time in. And the mail out of that was that the Essendon players were up there to have a party for Dyson Heppel's 200th. And that was their focus going into a practice game. That looked like the focus going into their AFL game. And if you go up there with the mindset, the carry-on from Dyson Heppel about the 200 was, I mean, you're running out thinking you'd broken the game's record, high-fiving every man kissed 9,000 babies. Okay, that's not hot. Not hot for me. Don't like it. Don't like it at all. Now, what about our four-day weather forecast? And it's brought to us by Fujitsu again. When the temperature hits you, just get a Fujitsu. It's Australia's favourite air. Oh, I can't
lost,
do Mark Taylor.
I've lost the four. Have you got the forecast there?
It's right here in front of us.
Thank you very much.
Look, get me a broom. I'll sweep up two.
There's
here,
a reason why you're just about to learn, Miles. You're not supposed to give me this. I love weather forecasts.
Well, we've only got about a minute till the news.
Tomorrow, maximum of 20, minimum of 8. No rain on the horizon, so a good day to be at Adelaide Oval for the Crows St Kilda game. Sunday, sunny again, maximum of 21, minimum of 11. And Monday is mostly sunny, 21 and 12 is the range. And I wish I could tell the fishers where the tides were. If I knew...
The fishers? You mean the fish?
No, the fishers. You can't say fishermen.
Oh, fishers. Oh, I thought you meant fishes. I was thinking, you can't tell the fish, they don't talk.
I wish I could tell you about high tides and low tides. See, you shouldn't let me go.
Yeah, no, you should have done that too in the old who used to do the weather
Keith
the
Martin?
Best. No, but in Victoria on 3OW, it's 17 degrees. Good morning. I'm David Armstrong.
Now, I'm not sure if it was Sydney or Melbourne, but did you hear about the glitches in one of the news services last week where the weatherman was left with just 10 seconds to do the weather?
Oh.
There are a lot of people in this studio wish
that?
I would only
Monday
use
hot,
10
Tuesday
seconds.
Monday hot, Tuesday bloody hot, Wednesday cold, Thursday colder. Hey, let's jump to the news. We're having a bit of fun today on a Friday. We've just gone 5 o'clock. We'll go to the newsroom, and when we come back on the other side of this, Chad Corns, a backline coach for Port Adelaide. More to come. Welcome back to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch. No Kimbo, Miles Fitzner filling in for Kim Dillon. And, well, we do it all thanks to the Hyundai Staria Load, the van that's huge on safety. And speaking of the Hyundai Staria Load, our great friends at Mourne Team, Rooch, might have just flicked me and a few of the Redbacks boys a Staria Load to drive down to a golf day in Narracourt the other Friday. Brand new, said DT from Mourne Team, said, nah, take it, give it a spin. One of the best cars I've ever driven, 8-seater Hyundai Staria. I'm not kidding you. Unbelievable bus. Shout out to DT and the team at Mourne Team. Hey, we've got to do our nearest to pins.
Did you return it?
Yes, I did, and fully detailed as well.
Well done.
We've got to
petrol tank full?
We've got to do... it was. Yeah, petrol tank. Yeah, well, there's more in it than when I got it, I can tell you. Hey, we've got to do our nearest to pins. Send us a text, 0427 154 166. We need your winner and your margin for the two games on the weekend. And the winner gets a Brumbies $50 voucher. So the Port and the Crows game, send us the text now, 0427 154 166 for our nearest to pin. Rooch, we're now joined by, one of your favourites, wasn't he?
He is this the most honest and forthright man I've ever met.
He was a superstar, more honest than his brother, we can say that much. His name is Chad Corns and he joins us. How are you, Chaddy boy?
I'm not going there.
Oh, it's a nice intro. Thanks for having me again, guys.
Chad. Now, Chad, I fell off my chair last night when the teams came out and there was no Oratia Fantasia.
Yeah, well, during the week, Rooch, in the initial planning, he was selected in the team. Mm-hmm. Just didn't quite pull up well enough from training on Thursday. So, still in good enough shape to take his place in Loxton, mm-hmm. which would be a great game for the Magpies on Sunday, but just wasn't quite ready to make his return to the AFL lineup. But, yeah, not far away.
So when you say didn't pull up right, no issue with all the knee surgery he's had? Or how do you define not pull up well?
Oh, just a bit of muscle, that Dom's soreness from all the work he's been doing to try and get himself back into, back for game readiness, I suppose. Okay. So nothing in terms of his injury that's kept him out. Just a bit of that Dom's muscle soreness.
Full minutes against West Adelaide then or not?
Yeah, I think so. From what I understand, full minutes. And yeah, like I said, that's going to be a great game on Sunday, the Russell Ebert tribute match. I've had a fair bit to do, in Loxton with my partner growing up there. So a great part of the world and, pretty excited to get up there Sunday morning.
You get the captain back, Tom Jonas, and he's going to have a fair bit of traffic around him with the Hawkins-Cameron railway line that's there. How are you dealing with that? Because we're all intrigued as to what clubs do in the week leading up to a game where they study. You got Hawkins and Cameron, 2 and 4 on the Coleman medal list. Two very good defenders you have at the moment, Alir and Tom Cleary. But how do you decide who matches up on whom? When they decide to switch over, and how do you handle all that?
You look on past performance, obviously, and then what's happened from both their lineup and our lineup over the last month or so. We obviously had a good result last time we played them. Aaliyah was obviously on fire in the way he came across and helped. It was Trent McKenzie on that occasion playing on Hawk. But, obviously looked really closely at what Hawkins and Cameron do this week. I'm not sure Hawkins gets the credit he deserves. I think he's, if not the best key forward in the comp, he's right up there. So Cleary will get that job tomorrow, and we'll need a lot of help from up the field and from his fellow defenders. So, we've done, I feel like we've prepared well, as we always do. So it's going to be a great matchup, but don't expect him to go in and keep him goalless. I wouldn't have thought that because of just the form he's in. So it's going to be a real team effort required.
Chad, my mail is Tom Jonas just ducked up the river to isolate up there. No instructions from the club not to go water skiing up there while he was up there?
No, it's a pretty good little setup he's got up there. So the perfect place to be if you're under health and safety protocol. So he was still able to get a fair amount of work in. He didn't get hit hard by it. So, he trained this afternoon and trained really well and looked really sharp. So that's a great result for us.
I want to talk about Trent Dumont. Slid in under the radar a little bit when you recruited him. North Melbourne obviously didn't want him. He looks a real role player for Port Adelaide.
Yeah, he's been outstanding, and you're exactly right. Saying he's not flashy isn't the right thing, but he just does everything the teams needed. He's really clean with balls on the ground, can release and give a nice handball and kick to his teammates, which obviously helps. But it's the things that you probably don't notice if you're just watching it on TV. The way he helps back and helps the defenders. He's also really, really switched on in terms of how well he sees the game and can articulate the game. So I think he's definitely a coach in waiting. But he's been really important for us. He's been a main reason why we're back, almost 4 and 5. And he came into the team, I think, when hadn't won a game yet or around that time. So he's been really important.
Chad, is this the best you've seen of Ryan Burton, particularly with his aerial contests?
Yeah, I've really loved the balance in Burto's game. He's got the balance in between the way he's defending his opponent and, like you said, then coming off to help in the air as well. And we know how damaging he is by foot and with ball in hand. So I'm just loving the balance he's got. And it's probably the same with Dan Houston and Darcy Ben-Jones. I think those three guys in particular, from my point of view, because I'm obviously watching them closely, have really been in great form.
The 0-5 team was regarded as the best 0-5 team ever by Adam Simpson. The one that's now won 4 in a row. We're all trying to work out where Port is at. Do you regard Geelong at Geelong as that real litmus test for you?
Yeah, it's a great test for us. Haven't won here since 2007. I think the famous Dom Cassisi goal. Every time we come up against Geelong, they seem to be close battles, and we understand each other quite well. So, we trained on the oval before.
Yep.
It's in great condition. And not similar size to the Adelaide Oval, just a little bit skinnier. And like I said before, I feel like we're really well prepared for this. We've been building for a great performance against a really quality opposition. So, you'd love to think we go out there and it's a really good battle tomorrow.
You know, Miles, that Chad's part of an exclusive club at Port Adelaide?
What's that?
One of the very few men to get 2 wins at Cadinia Park for Port Adelaide.
It wouldn't be too many.
2 wins. The only 2 wins, unfortunately,
Chad.
he'll pull it out, don't worry. Hey, Chad, what about Charlie Dixon? How much longer? How much the supporters are chomping at the bit? When do they see the big boy?
He's been pretty open that he just didn't quite feel right after his first performance in the Magpies, but he's had a couple of weeks training since then. Looked sharp during the week, and he'll be one that goes to Loxton's, and obviously we'll wait and see how he goes and how he pulls up from there, but he's definitely not too far away.
What about Trent McKenzie, Chad? How's he progressing?
Yeah, better than thought initially. Like, it was the first couple of weeks, as operations do, they take some time to settle and heal, but he's had a really promising last few weeks, and not too far away before he can resume full training, which is great for us.
Chad, if I had to ask you one thing about Geelong that you need to stop to get the win, what would it be?
Oh, because I look so closely at their forward line, I'll say Hawkins and Cameron. That's 2 things, but they're a great contest team, so I think the way that we've had success in the past is us bringing our contest game, putting great pressure onto them, and it's that full team defence, you know, that we saw last year in the final, that there was a huge reason why we had the success in that game. So come to play in terms of our contest and our team defence, and we should put ourselves in a good position.
Chad, do you get a smile on your face while you're watching Sam Hayes, knowing about all the work he's done to get to the AFL?
Yeah, you do. You do, Roach. It's taken a while, as we know, and I think he's growing every game he plays. He's learning a lot from every game he plays. He's one of those great teammates, great people that you love to have in the team and everyone loves, and he's funny, he's jovial, but he also works really hard and he's dedicated to his game. So, you know, obviously you lose a player like Lysette, at the start, that can be a little scary because you just, you know, the unknown of Hazy, but I think everyone can really appreciate the work he's put into his game and what he's showing on game day.
Chad, a few people chiming in off the text machine here. Any chance of Chad playing on Hawkins? He still looks fit enough. There's a host of texts in here, Chad. We're going to leave you be, mate. Thank you so much for your time on a Friday afternoon. Best of luck against the Cats, and we'll chat again soon.
Nah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Chad. Cheers.
Chad Corns there, the Port Adelaide backline coach. Always speaks very well, always forthright and up front. Hey, Rooch, we are running the nearest to pin, thanks to Brumbies, a $50 voucher. We need the winner and the margin for the Crows and Port games, please. So we need your nearest to pin. Send us a text to 0427 154 166. Send them in now. On the other side of this, Rooch, Friday forecast, properties of the week. We've got our nearest to pin. Plenty more to come, and we're live from SENSA's Studio Lumo. We'll be back right after this.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Roots. I'm still
Team Roach on the heel of the hunt. We're on the home stretch and we're live from SENSA's Studio Lumo. It's time for our Friday forecast, Roach, and we'll get straight into it. You can send us a text if you've got one, 0427 154 166. Let's go with your sure thing of the week, Roach. Which way are you going?
Well, for all the tough talk and the tough training that they had at Essendon this week, you've left me now with the impression there is no doubt that Richmond will win the Dreamtime game.
Oh, you've
convinced me.
Well,
that's a certainty for me. Richmond will win.
Well, certainty is your sure thing. My sure thing, well, because I'm a racing man, and you know that, my sure thing is race 9, number 13 at Rosehill, Quintello. Now, I don't like calling horses sure things because there's no such thing. Right. But I thought I'd give him my best bet in Australia for the weekend.
Fair enough.
And that's race 9, number 13, Quintello at Rosehill. What about your most at stake?
Well, I think this is credibility round because we've got a heap of teams who need to deliver or their credibility is going to be hit around. Fremantle needs to deliver. Very interesting that Fremantle set out their team with no emergencies because they've got none. That's what COVID's done to them.
Unreal.
So that's a big game. Port is on a real credibility test against Geelong. Carlton's got its credibility on the line and you don't think they've got any chance against Sydney.
I think Sydney will win. Mm-hmm. And I think Sydney will have to win too because they've got to respond to what happened last week.
Gold Coast has got their credibility on the line and St Kilda certainly has against Adelaide at Adelaide Oval. So I think it's most at stake is about credibility for a lot of teams this weekend.
Most at stake for me is Essendon. If they don't see a reply and with the head over the pill, second efforts, hitting contest flat out off the back of what they said during the week and they get pumped, then heads will roll. At Essendon, and they'll roll from the top, and they'll roll all the way down.
And then Kim will be on the phone getting Alistair Clarkson there as coach.
Well, look, it's probably not. I think he wants more of a challenge than that, though.
More of a challenge than Essendon at the moment.
Yeah, he'd want to go somewhere like GWS and win there first.
Ooh.
Yep. Okay. Right, doomsday scenario.
In 1972...
Oh, geez. Here we go.
North Melbourne lost to Melbourne by 108 points. If it goes into that territory, that is doomsday for North Melbourne.
No, not for me. They're rebuilding. Doesn't matter. They said at the start of the year they'll finish last. They will finish last. Won't matter.
Goodness.
You know what my doomsday scenario is? Luke Parker pulls out of a contest. Now, he's never done it. He's twice won the medal for the toughest in the comp. But the doomsday is that someone has a go and he flinches. That's doomsday because then it'll make him look like a goose and you don't need a long neck to be a goose, Rooch.
No.
And that is true. So that's doomsday for me. Let's go into our properties of the week, thanks to McGain Real Estate. Sold by McGain again, Rooch. That's what we're doing. You kick it away here because you've got one at Warradale.
Indeed. It's 1725 Raymond Grove at Warradale. The big boss, Mike Dobbin, will be there with the hardest worker of the team, Zoe Ball, at a neat two-bedroom unit in a quiet cul-de-sac with a good-sized lounge, heating and cooling, dining area, kitchen with pantry, and added storage, private courtyard with lawns and garden, currently tenanted with a fantastic long-term tenant. $250 per week makes it a ready-made investment. The price that it is expected is around $349,000 to $379,000, open for the first time on Saturday, tomorrow, 11 to 11.30 a.m. Even though someone has seriously typed here, p.m.
They're not doing an open at 11.30 p.m. there, Benny boy. Well, mine, the agent there is Luke McFarlane, the great defender from Fremantle's brother, Scotty McFarlane. 12 Desmond Road, Hackham. It's a beautifully presented three-bedroom family home on a good-sized block. Great for investors and first-time homebuyers, Rooch. And, well, we can't talk election, but that might change about how you buy your home. It features a renovated bathroom, nice light colour scheme throughout, heaps of off-street parking, and a fantastic undercover entertaining area. $469,000 to $489,000. And the open is 1 to 1.30 p.m., this Saturday, and that's all thanks to McGain Real Estate. They're the best in the business. Sold by McGain again. And that's why everywhere you go, there's signs popping up, Rooch, saying sold by McGain again.
So we've got our closest the pin happening.
Nearest to the pin.
Nearest the pin, yes. How are the predictions going so far?
There's a few in there. Kerry, Port by 12, Saints by 26, Annie's Crows by 9, Port by 27. Rooch, these are not my picks, they're my partners. I'd never pick the Crows. Good on you, Annie. I like that. Chops from Cheltenham's chimed in, St Kilda by 21. We've got a few others that are chimed in there. Geelong by 25, St Kilda by 15, Daryl from Port Adelaide. You can still send them in.
What's our prize?
To the pin, a $50 Brumbies voucher.
Nice.
Yep, and so send them in. Nearest to pin, 0427 154 166. I like this. Kim Dillon's hot, running a temperature of 101, thanks to Rooch. That's got to be from Mario.
Goodness gracious.
Well done, Milo. Spending 2 hours with Rooch is not on my bucket list. Is someone having a go at you there?
Always.
No, I quite enjoy it.
Always.
I love it. We always have fun.
Big race series this weekend.
Yeah,
here in Adelaide.
Goodwood at Morfordville. I'll be out there tomorrow. See You in Heaven and Another Award are my two best for the day.
Right.
But the Goodwood out there, my value is the map. You can catch that all on the SA Betfair Edge tomorrow morning, right here on SEN. Yeah. The map might run a drum, but in the Goodwood, you've probably got to look at horses up on speed. And then if it's a leader bias day, so that's Sava 2 XL and probably Behemoth. And then if they're running on from the back, you can back the Inferno and Bella Nipotina. So they're the four, depending on the track pattern. I'm going to be Behemoth and Sava 2 XL if it's leader bias. Mm. If I had to pick two, Behemoth and the Inferno, but it just depends on how the track's playing, Rooch.
You Adelaide Oval tomorrow night?
Adelaide Oval tomorrow night. We've got a big week. Don't forget Paul Bonds and Mark Ross tonight. They're calling on SEN. They're calling the SANFL clash. Tomorrow night, AFL Nation. Paul Bonds are joining me for the first time. His debut AFL game for Adelaide v St Kilda. So join us live right here on SEN on AFL Nation.
And don't forget we have the A-League with the finals. Good luck to Adelaide United as they try to break away from a draw and get a win against Melbourne City.
Happy Friday to you all. Thanks so much for having me. The team, Rooch, have thoroughly enjoyed it.
Hopefully, enjoy your weekend.
I shall. Hopefully Kimbo gets back soon. And, well, if you've missed any of it, go hit up Kimbo and the Rooch on Twitter or via the SEN app. You can catch up on all the podcasts. They get loaded up there. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourself.
Good night, everyone.